Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover, and this week I figured I would pick up where I left off last month in talking about Thomas Aquinas by looking at his theological and philosophical beliefs. First, let's take a look at his theology. I mean, as I'll mention when I discuss his philosophical beliefs, it doesn't really matter because from the reading I did, they're very so entwined for the discussion I want to get into that basically the philosophical beliefs that I would have focused on for this podcast basically are rooted in his Christian faith, to where it's hard to tell which shaped which. So the first thing I'm going to look at, of course, is his theology. See, Thomas viewed theology as a science where the raw material data consists of the scripture and the tradition of the church. And the sources of data were produced through the self-revelation of God to both individuals and groups. And while distinct but related, faith and reason to Thomas were basically the tools for processing the data of theology, and that both were actually necessary in order to obtain a true knowledge about God. In other words, in Thomas's mind, you couldn't fully know God just by faith, and you couldn't fully know God just by reason. You had to have a combination of the two. And to some extent, in regards to his theology, again, he blended kind of a Greek philosophy with Christian doctrine. Basically by suggesting that rational thinking and the study of nature were really valid ways in order to understand truths pertaining to God. To an extent, Paul even mentions about it some in Romans 1. So, it's that whole natural revelation, supernatural revelation type thing. And Thomas viewed that basically, again, God reveals himself through nature, so basically to study nature, in Thomas's mind, was, in fact, to study God. And the ultimate goal of theology is to use reason to grasp the truth about God and to experience salvation through that truth. So, what was Thomas's view of truth? Well, truth in Thomas's view is known, again, through reason or natural revelation, and faith, supernatural revelation. Basically, one may deduce that God exists through reason, but certain specifics about God aren't known except through faith or special revelation of God through Jesus Christ. So, quickly to kind of go through pretty much just some high points on his theological views. First thing would be his view regarding the nature of God. And in that, he believed that the existence of God is self-evident, but not to us, and thus needs to be demonstrated by things that are more known to us. And he eventually presented pretty much five arguments for the existence of God, which is known as the five ways. And to be honest, some of these I have heard of before, and then others I haven't heard reference to, but first one is motion. In other words, some things move, but cannot cause their own motion. Thus, since there can be no infinite chain of causes of motion, there must be a first mover, not moved by anything else. And very much like that is causation. Again, just like with motion, nothing can cause itself, therefore there must be a first cause. And a lot of times when in like apologetics and stuff, when you hear people talking about proving then basically showing that there needs to be an existence of God, it's pretty much this whole first cause, first motion concept that a lot of them will bring up. And the third argument is the existence of the necessary and the unnecessary. The fourth argument was gradation, which is if we can notice that some things are more hot, more good, etc., then there must be a superlative that is the truest and noblest thing most fully existing. And then finally, there are the ordered tendencies of nature, in that a direction or of actions to an end is noticed in all bodies following natural laws, and anything without awareness tends to a goal under the guidance of one who is aware. I know I saw an article linked where I got my sources where I was getting this from that goes to further in depth on these, and I'll link that in the notes. But pretty much, I mean, the two arguments that I hear most often today in regarding to proving the existence of God is that first motion, first cause argument. And Thomas also came up with five statements regarding the divine qualities of God. And he came up with these basically by first considering what God is not. And those qualities is that God is simple, or that he is without a composition of parts such as body and soul, or matter and form. Second one is that God is perfect, lacking nothing. Third, God is infinite. God is immutable, number four, meaning he's incapable of change on the levels of God's essence and character. Meaning who God is can't change. And then God is one, basically without diversification within God's self. In other words, God's essence is the same as God's existence. So then, the next part of his theology, Thomas's theology, I want to look at is briefly talk about his views on the nature of sin, which he basically followed Augustine in that route, and his definition of sin is basically just a word, deed, or desire that is contrary to the eternal law. And then, nature of the Trinity, he basically argued that God, while perfectly united, is also perfectly described by three interrelated persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that these three are constituted by the relations within the essence of God. And then his views regarding the nature of Jesus Christ, pretty much when he's discussing that in the Summa Theologica, Thomas basically started by recounting the story of Adam and Eve, describing the negative effects of sin. And he used this to show the purpose of basically Christ's incarnation, to show that the purpose of Christ's incarnation was to restore human nature by removing the contamination of sin, which is an action that, as humans, we cannot do ourselves. And basically, this view he held is known as the satisfaction view of atonement, which I'll have a link to another article that goes deeper into what that is in the notes. And I might, in the future, either on this podcast or, as I mentioned last week, with considering doing a separate podcast for the actual Bible teaching stuff, I might look into some of these things, like the articles that I'll be linking to, as a further topic to present. And then finally, in regards to Thomas's theological views, there is his view regarding the goal of human life, which he pretty much identified as union and eternal fellowship with God. And it's basically this goal that, when following Thomas's line of thought, it basically brings one to realize that his line of thinking is that one's will will start, or let me try and think how to reword what I wrote. But basically, it's as we seek that, basically, that union and eternal fellowship with God, our will and our desires and everything basically starts to line up more with God's will and desires. I mean, you've heard me mention that one passage out of the Psalms a number of times: delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's basically the view of that verse. What Thomas is gets at with his view of regarding the goal of human life is basically what I will say a lot of times regarding that verse, is that as we delight in the Lord, as we look towards God, it's not that he's giving us what we want, but he's changing our wants to be more in line with his. So now, again, having looked at his theology, I just want to briefly touch on his philosophical position, which the primary thing being that, again, being that he never really considered himself to be a philosopher. And actually, he often criticized philosophers for falling short of the true and proper wisdom to be found in Christian revelation. However, he did have respect for Aristotle, and if you were to read through his Summa, you will see that Aristotle is actually often cited. And then also, much of Thomas Aquinas's work is actually characterized as being philosophical. And it pretty much to the point where his philosophical thoughts have been considered to be an enormous influence upon both Christian theology as well as Western philosophy in general. But as I mentioned at the beginning, the one thing I've noticed regarding his philosophy and theology is it's really hard, from what I've read, it's really hard to tell if his philosophy shaped his theology, or if his theology shaped his philosophy, because they are so closely intertwined and hard to separate the two. Some of it's like his view regarding truth. His philosophical views is that while humans can understand many things to fully know truth, there is that need for some divine revelation. And his view on ethics, again, it's all based pretty much on his view regarding the goal of human life. Basically, living in such a way that our will is actually starting to line up with what God desires, living a holy life. So, and to be honest, I can't fault him for basically having philosophical views that line up with his theological views, because as kind of a, to an extent, self-proclaimed philosopher, I'd probably say that the way you think, one thinks about things in a philosophical way is often shaped by their worldview, and Thomas's worldview pretty much was his theology, and then also one's worldview is also shaped and molded by one's philosophical thoughts. So it makes sense that they were so entwined. So, again, this is Chuck Groover, and that was The Theology and Philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, and that's God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.